Debate at Westminster this evening was dominated by the actions of George Dank, erstwhile Minister for Roads, who recently went to live up a tree in protest at the construction of the proposed Tiddabot bypass.
Oh, it was a great crest and green, Madam Speaker.
No, it wasn't.
Sit down.
Protesting Too Much by Kate Brook and Sally Phillips, starring John Fortune and Eleanor Bron. Episode 3.
Stephen Robbins, Minister for Transport, astonishingly given that a date for the general election must be announced in the next couple of weeks, ignored calls for his resignation and declared that despite George Dank's tree vigil, the construction of the Tiddabot bypass would be going ahead as planned.
It will be going ahead as planned.
I didn't stand down over the prison thing, and Hamilton's still arsing about why the bloody hell should I resign?
Shame! I mean, resign. Is this not yet more proof of the calibre of the current government, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, men such as Stephen Robbins do not grow on trees, Madam Speaker. They swing from them.
Yeah. Here comes the
I'd just like to ask the aptly named Stephen Robbins if he hasn't yet twigged that he cannot go ahead with this road in any case, as the flora of the area is now playing host to Britain's most endangered species, a Tory minister. When will this government announce a general election? When the people of Britain are fed up
with this... Bit of a tight spot, Stephen. Dan's going to wish he'd never been born.
By our
government. How cold my toes, diddly-bong. How cold my toes, diddly-bong. How cold my toes, oh diddly-bong. Oh, growing, oh. And nobody knows, diddly-bong. How cold my toes, oh. Diddly-bong. How cold my toes.
Anyway, is up, baby. For you and me now.
Up a gum tree, are we, Robbins?
What? Who said that? Which one of you snivelling little reptiles said that?
I ignore them, sir. You mustn't keep the PM waiting. He looked unusually stern.
Oh, nonsense. PM's scared stiff of me, Jennifer. There won't be a problem.
No, of course not. Well, good luck.
Right, OK.
What the bloody hell do you think you're doing, Robbins? Get out and sort it out!
Thanks. Dead, Jennifer. Do you understand me? He's dead!
Lightning. One, two, three, four. Thunder. That's 4 miles. 4 miles is a long way. No lightning. One, two... 2 miles. Well, that's it. I'm sorry. That's it. Beyond the call, I will not sit up here and be barbecued, not even before an election. Build your sodding bypass, Robbins. I'm coming down. Fine. Oh, right. Well, it's too far to jump. Fine, can be. Ring for backup. Ring wife. Ring Hermione. Yes. Answer someone. Please. Please.
Phone's ringing, Matt.
Yeah, I know. Good evening. Larch's Guest House. How may I help you?
Hermione Dank! Room 4, please! Dank! Room 4!
Hello?
Chiare, freschi, dolci acque. Yes, yes.
Will you give me a driving lesson tomorrow, Mum?
Ove le belle membra.
Poor Dad. It's thundering and everything. Mother?
Maminuccia?
English, please, Mother.
Certo, certo, cara.
Stop always talking in Italian. You're from Finchley.
So cruel, so young. Fatta crudele che la vita mi rovina.
Stop it!
No, mai! La bufera infernal che mai non resta a me.
be quiet!
I'm under a lot of pressure, Anne. My Petrarch lecture's being assessed tomorrow, and I hadn't prepared anything because I've been supporting your father, who's suddenly become a kind of political karaoke pilot.
Kamikaze pilot.
And my faculty at the university is being scaled down so they can start a sub-faculty of Galician. So someone's got to go, and it's not going to be Peter Cunningham, and Sigismundo's just published 600 pages on the noun in Manzoni. And all the students think Bobby Gordon's really hot and trendy because he lets them watch films. So that just leaves me. And I didn't pack my lucky pants, and it's horrible weather, and your father's up a tree, and I miss him. Speaking Italian relaxes my nose muscles, so please don't be hoity, Annie, not tonight.
They won't sack you, Mother. You're the author of bestseller Beheading in Boccaccio.
Does selling 14 copies count as a bestseller?
Given that there are only 2 beheadings in the Decameron, I think you did very well to sell any. Oh. I could drive you to work tomorrow, Mother, as a sort of moral support, couldn't I? Mum, please. I was 17 2 weeks ago and I still haven't been behind a wheel yet.
I should never have been a medievalist. Petrarch's poetic of the self is rigorously maintained, and the fragmentation and resynthesization which it brings about are radical. Is that clear, do you think, Annie?
As crystal. I'll drive you there, then.
If you like.
Yes. If you're worried about Dad, we could go and take him some soup or an umbrella or something.
Better not. He's fighting Mother Nature, darling. Yes, he must wrestle with the elements alone. His body must glisten with fatigue under a moon cold and flat as a serpent's eye before he bursts triumphant through the hymen of time into the womb of history. Or something along those lines. It's a men thing, darling. We can't fully understand.
The weather's vile, though. Are you sure he'll be okay?
Of course he will. Besides, if you weren't, he'd have phoned.
Hello? Hello? It's me again. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Leave no stone unturned.
Forage, root, ravage, seek, destroy. I have the enemy in my sights, Jennifer. A sitting duck. Ready, aim, fire.
I shan't write that down, I don't think, sir.
Send this memo out to the usual team. By tomorrow evening, I want my desk to be covered with seedy, sordid, revoltingly disgusting information about Denk. I want to know who he goes on holiday with and why. I want to know if he's ever received chocolates, flowers, flights or Rolex watches from any member of the Arab royal family. I want to know about every family feud, every fetish, every freebie, every frigging booze-up he's ever had, Jennifer. I want filth, filth!
Yes, I get the idea, sir.
This is a top priority smear. Objective, utter annihilation. Target, George Horace Frederick Dank. When it's a choice between me and the cow, Jennifer, the cow gets it every time.
Breakfast.
Right, so Dank is somewhere in this area of woodland here.
Cole, that's what we're going to say by our power and protesting strength. Quite small, isn't it?
No.
Oh, right. The map is an actual size, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah, here.
There you go, love.
Oh, thank you.
So... Dane, we hitch a lift as far as that black rectangle. Oh, look. Oh, Dane. Problemo.
Well, what?
Well, the road runs out. If there isn't a road, how are we going to get there?
If there was a road, Skip, we wouldn't need to get there. Of
course, yeah.
Putting on black pudding, rice pudding and chip.
Black pudding with rice pudding. That's frightening.
No, it's not as bad as it sounds, actually. My ex, Nige, used to have that.
49. Over here.
Oh, 49. Blimey, look at 49. He's a monster. He's got a web tattooed on his face.
Nah, that's not a web. That's ley lines. Ley lines of Wessex. Nige!
Yo, Skip!
Yo!
Nige! I can't believe it, darling.
What are you doing?
What are you doing here? Itching in a tree?
Well,
good, yeah.
synchronicity or what, darling?
Aye, no,
it's right. Wessex and Collins want to get to Tory now, fascist!
Lord have mercy.
Any moment now.
And George Dank, impassive yet dignified as Ryan Bosworth, returning officer, goes forward to announce the result.
And the votes for Salisbury and Wilton are as follows. James Quayle, Liberal Democrat, 4 votes.
And that'll be a blow for James Quayle. That really is a massive swing against the Liberals, who came second in 1992 with 10,000 votes.
4.
Anita Dobson, Labour, 1.
They were wrong. The polls were wrong again.
That is 8,000 fewer votes than Labour had in 1992, an astonishing reversal of the trend across the country.
George Dank, Conservative, 35,743,000.
Astonishing scenes here in Salisbury, a truly remarkable result. I don't think that number's ever even been used by anybody before. An historic swing for the Conservatives of 3.4 billion percent.
Thank you. Thank you. A big thank you to the police.
No, I think that's him up there. Look. Hello, Mr. Dank. Mr. Dank. I'm Dan. Red alert for roads.
Please, I'm sleepy.
Yes, if you insist.
This is Skip.
What do you want? I'm busy.
Morty. And I'm never called Nigel, brother of the police.
What? Your face. What happened to his face?
It looks like a web, but it's actually ley lines.
Ley lines to Wessex.
Do they have that many ley lines in Wessex?
Well, poetic license, you know. This is how many ley lines I wish it had. Is that your treehouse?
Yes. Well, it isn't finished.
You shouldn't have chosen a beech, mate. Not enough thick branches low down. You'd be better off with that conker.
Well, I like the view from here. You see, Nigel, I've been up here a couple of days and developed my own special treehouse building technique.
Right, let's get set up.
Pardon? No, look, sorry, this area is slightly out of bounds. I'm actually involved in a sort of, protest event thing.
We know, that's why we're here. We're protesters.
Oh. Oh!
And since you pig-headedly refuse to negotiate with either the Department of Transport or my own office, I expect we'll be in for a pretty long haul, don't you? Me, you, Skip and Nigel. Oh, and the rest of Nigel's friends, when they turn up.
Are there more of him?
It's next tree along, all right, by you.
The conker, Dan. Let's go for the conker.
Yes, all right.
The conker. I almost won a bonker.
Oh, God. Lord have mercy.
I did it my way. Success! Vittoria! They can't get rid of me now. 60 students. A university record for attendance at a Petrarch lecture. Yes, I thought Seduction Techniques was a racy title. Entry! I'm the Queen of the
Dr.
May.
Dr. Dank, come on. I need to have a word.
Peter, entry! Te, caffè, biscotti. Siediti.
Non grazie. Now, Hermione.
60 students, Peter.
You know I respect you enormously as a medievalist, and Beheading Boccaccio is one of my favourite volumes.
Oh, Peter, we all excel in different areas. I loved your report on The Late Show last week. You have wonderful screen presence.
I have a good chin for telly, yes. Hermione, as you know, the department is being scaled down so the university can start its sub-faculty of Galician.
Terribly exciting news. Galician theatre is so earthy and real, isn't it?
And as you know, scaling down unfortunately means losing some.
Poor Sigismundo. Only 2 for the definite article in Goldoni, I hear.
Yes, but we can't lose Sigismundo. It's all about public image these days, Hermione. And the noun in Manzoni has been getting rave reviews.
Has it sold any copies?
2.
Already. Well done, Sig. But we can't lose Bobby Gordon. The students think he's so hot and exciting.
Because he lets them watch the film. Yeah.
Exactly. I sometimes wish they'd made more films in the 14th century.
And I can't go, obviously.
No, you're head of the department.
Which just leaves you.
Scusa.
It's this terrible business with your husband. Not the best possible publicity for the faculty. Obviously, we support his brave stand as individuals, but as a department, Hermione, we stand to lose our major sponsor, and without a sponsor, the whole department will fall.
What? Not feared?
The Cinquecento chair of Renaissance rhyme?
Your chair?
Precisely. It would be curtains for the Puccini pasta bar and the motorized statue of Botticelli. I'm sorry, Hermione, if you could be out by lunchtime.
Certo. Grazie mille.
Sig's got his eye on this office, I'm afraid. I'll let myself out. Hello.
Dr. Cunningham?
Anne, isn't it? My, you have grown. You look more like your mother every day.
Well, Skip, I must say I think Nigel's making the most rudimentary mistake in not sketching out some plans. Fools rush in, I suppose. You see, I've had a couple of days' experience up here already, so I've been able to design a treehouse that is not only, well, beautiful to look at, but that truly meets my needs. You see, this plank, with its swirling pattern of knots and holes, will make a very interesting floor. And then coming up from it, eventually, there'll be a sleek, bat-proof wall made out of bin bags. Forethought, you see, Skip. Planning.
Lovely.
Finish!
Oh, cool turret, Nige.
Turret?
Charge, it's Gothic. Ready for the sofa, Dan?
Righto.
Yeah, I've got the axe men's delayed. Skip, you get the telly out of the van. I'll wire it up in time for EastEnders.
Right. Hey, Nige.
Yeah?
Where's the...
Collier's word against the touring out's passes. Hey, Danko.
Yes?
You want to turn that plank 90 degrees, mate? Unless you're making a seesaw.
Ha, 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 ha.
Sponsors. Fiat. But also tawdry. Those students need me, Annie. They need me. They're giddy with hormones. If Sig teaches them seduction, those little boys will never score again.
You're best off out of there. What a revolting man.
And I need Italian. If I don't let it out, it just builds up and up inside me, like sweat, like pus.
Did you see his chin?
Yes, like trapped wind.
Why are the windscreen wipers doing that?
I'm a potentially lethal time bomb of lyric poetry.
Cunningham's an idiot. He said I look like you. I don't look anything like you. Where have the indicators gone? Whoops. There's no family resemblance there at all. You've got grey hair... I've got brown.
I'm a volcano.
You're a volcano. God! This car, your stove doesn't work properly!
Fate has thrown a cruel, cruel coconut at my shy, the harlot.
Stop making such a fuss. It's worse for Dad. At least you can still sleep in your bed at night.
You're right, Annie. He's been up there. How selfish of me. How awful, how un-Beatrice.
No, Dante, Mother, please, I'm trying to drive.
Oh, my goodness, it's been staring me in the face and I never realised. Annie, Beatrice came down from paradise to meet Dante in the Garden of Eden.
So?
I am she. I am her Beatrice. Your father is Dante. Virgil, the figure of reason, that's politics, can escort him no further, so she takes over. And they fall even more in love. And there's a dance and bells and griffins and metal confetti. I'm being called, Annie. Literature is calling me to your father's side. My job was holding me back. It was preventing me from being with him, from playing out the paradigm of courtly love in full.
Oh, no.
Take me to the tree, Annie. I'm going up.
What? No. Directorships? No. Drinking problem? Come on.
Mella beat him to the only directorship he was considered for, and the last time he got tiddly was with Sir Nicholas Scott. He rather grabbed the headlines, if you remember. We thought he'd done a Geoffrey Archer about going to Oxford, but it turns out the university had just misplaced his matriculation form.
Right. What about sex? He must be banging someone. Everyone's banging someone.
Except George.
Are you protecting him, Jennifer? Oh, yes, please, God. Is he banging you?
Oh, Stephen, I've told you...
How long were you attached to Dank before he came to transport?
4 years.
And in 4 years, this moronic arse of a man never felt you up, never got drunk and followed you home, never did anything that caused you to buy a little black book and entitle it Memoirs of a Bald Politician's Special Advisor?
No.
You'll regret withholding information from me, Jennifer. I never forget an enemy in one day, when you're least expecting it.
Right, all right. It's probably not anything, but...
Yeah, yeah, porn, even porn would do. Come on.
What? Thursday afternoons. He slips off early.
Right.
And he makes the most unlikely. Ooh, I've got to have my hair cut. Sort of excuses.
Look into it, Jennifer. Now.
Who wants to go on to remain seaside?
Dan! Dan, could I possibly have a word, do you think?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
How many more of Nigel's friends are you expecting, Dan?
Given that you single-handedly trashed any hopes of the Department of Transport backing down without direct action, we need as many people on board as possible. Oh, Aurora, hi. This is George Dank.
Yeah, Dan. Oh, George. Yeah, hi. A great seesaw, by the way.
Yes. You see, I was managing fine on my own, Dan. I had the situation completely under control.
Dan the man.
Oh, Risky. I knew you'd be here somewhere. This is the George Dank, Risky.
Yes, indeed. That's me.
Nice seesaw, mate.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm not grateful for the support, Dan, and obviously I don't mind having them stay for the weekend, but I'm not very good in large groups, and it's harder for the press to get to me with all these people in the way. So what I'm saying is I think I'd rather fight the Department of Transport on my own, if that's all right.
You just don't get it, do you, George? And this isn't about you. This is about the construction of a completely unnecessary bypass which will destroy one of our last remaining patches of natural woodland.
Good Lord,
which is
what's
going
that smell?
It's art. All right, Dan? It's a protest installation against the bypass, constructed entirely from condoms, roadkill and ardour. It's called Tories.
Well, it stinks, though, don't
it? That's the point.
Well, if you think you can manage without me, Dan, perhaps I should go home and take my 13 years of experience in government and my fan mail and my good press with me.
I see. I'm all right, Jack, is it? You reckon you've done enough to be re-elected, so you're off. Well, fine. Fine.
Car! Look, car! Watch out!
Oh, yeah, go then. And don't think I don't know that that seesaw is supposed to be a treehouse.
Dan, look out!
Oh, you said gallop a pace, ye five-footed steeds. Okay. So I did. Get there. Demented old hag.
Anne?
Look at me well. I am indeed Beatrice. How dost thou approach the mountain? Didst thou not know that here man is happy?
Pardon?
No, speak not, Dankte. Because Virgil leaves thee, weep not yet, for thou must weep for another sword.
Has she hit her head?
No, she went off on one about half an hour ago. I'm amazed we got here. Hi, I'm Anne.
Maybe a cup of tea. Now come along, H.
Like an admiral who goes to poop and prow to see the men that sail on other ships, and to hearten them in their work, so on the left side of the...
Are you all mad? You could have killed me. Did it not occur to you that it might not be altogether politic to arrive at a Rhodes protest in a ministerial rover? I mean, how is it going to look to the general public when they open their papers and see photos of Camp Dave?
Camp Dave?
Yes, with a ruddy great rover parked in the middle of it. Hey?
Sorry. I'm really sorry.
With pigskin seats!
Sorry!
Good joke.
You're lovely. I didn't catch your name!
The Secret Diary of Anne Dank. Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eventful day points. 6 out of 10. Open brackets. Quite good. Close brackets. First time ever in car today. Suspect I'm quite good. Drove to Reading and back before crashing. Am considering becoming a Formula One racing driver. Or at least marrying, divorcing and remarrying a Formula One racing driver with
little
a limb.
Little sausages on the sticks, anyone? Dan?
Come on and join us, Vandermincha.
In a minute. Mum lost job and went to live up a tree with Dad. Open brackets. I'm seriously fearing for her sanity. Close brackets.
But Dad lost Bottle and wanted to live in the house with Mum. Open brackets. Less worried about his sanity today. Close brackets. Because someone built a better treehouse than him. Mum got her own way because we're all still here.
Mmm, that's very spicy, isn't it? What's it called?
Collier's Wood Hot Pot.
Oh, interesting.
So are loads of other people who are really intense about the bypass and really angry with Dad until Mum organised a tarantula and barbecue evening, which seems to be going quite well.
So, John Major walks on the water, doesn't even get his suit trousers wet. Tony Blair walks across, doesn't even get his shoes wet. Then Paddy pants down, gets to the edge of the river, takes one step, splash, he falls right in. So John Major turns to Tony Blair and says, "Oh, you creep, Tony. Didn't you tell him where those stepping stones were?" And Blair says, "What stepping stones?"
Oh, do you know the Star Wars one when Darth Vader's walking on the water? It's quite similar, actually.
NB. One of them is good-looking in a help-me-I-may-stop-breathing kind of a way. But I'm not at all interested. Not really. I mean, I don't know his name or anything.
Blair! Come and do your Jabba the Hutt impression. No!
I'm feeling slightly moony and odd, so I'm going to sign off here.
You all right?
Fine. Good. Yes, sirree.
Look, I'm sorry about shouting at you earlier.
No. Fine, good. Yes, sirree.
It's Anne, isn't it? I'd love to hear your Jabber impression. I'm a big fan of Star Wars.
So am I. Anne. Oh, Luke.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Digga boosh digga. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Digga boosh
digga. That's great. That's really great.
Yeah. No, seriously, I didn't want you not to come to the barbecue because you thought that... Oh, I'm Dan, by the way.
Fine. Good.
Yeah. Yes, Cherie. Your parents are great. You know.
Now, listen, I'm on the yak making this speech, and then H turns round.
And it took one look at my wedding poncho.
And the next thing I know, I'm upside down in the cake.
Protesting Too Much starred John Fortune as George Dank, Eleanor Bron as Hermione Dank, Louisa Millwood Haig as Anne Dank, Brian Bowles as Robbins, Chris Pavlow as Dan, Alan Francis as Nigel and Peter, Sally Phillips as Jennifer, Elliot Nichols as Skip, and Brian Perkins and John Humphreys as themselves. Extra campers played by the pupils of the Latimer School, North London. All other parts were played by members of the cast. It was written by Kate Brooke and Sally Phillips. Technical presentation was by Alec Hale Munro. The broadcast assistant was Helen Williams, and the producer was Jane Bertu.
Hallelujah! Yes! Hallelujah! I've got him! I've got the balding fool by the balls!
Give that back! Stephen!
Oh, you'll have to catch me first!
You can't use that, Stephen! It is completely unethical!
I could use whatever I arsing well want, and I will! A smear! Hurrah! Yes! I haven't done one of these for ages.
This is the most despicable, amoral, disgusting...
And I've only just started, my sweet. By tomorrow morning, everyone in Britain will be baying for Dank's blood. His life won't be worth living. I'm going to run that little church so far into the ground, swampy will turn turtle. And if you try and stop me, I'll do the same to you. Do you understand?
You make me sick.
Oh, you're so sexy when you're angry, Jennifer. Dinner to celebrate, La Gavroche perhaps, or on second thoughts... I might go down and break the news to Dank myself.